I'm Jed Lipinski. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Ladies and gentlemen, revel in this victorious Sunday where all we do is win, at least as of this morning before the games start. Good morning. The Vikings are 5-0. The Minnesota Lynx are going for a WNBA championship. The Minnesota Wild have not trailed yet in regulation in a game. This may be the most successful our sports teams have ever been on one day. Enjoy it, because everything can change. We will talk about all of that as we get going here, but we'll start with the Vikings, Pete. They have a massive game with the Detroit Lions today. I started a little bit of a deep dive, and then I went way down a rabbit hole in this game, and I came out of it, and I thought and said to myself, this is arguably the biggest day of Sam Darnold's professional career. And hear me out here, because, yes, they're 5-0. I think this team offensively is better than it has been in a very long time. But I did the whole comparing, and comparing can be difficult. But if you look at Sam Bradford, remember our good friend Sam Bradford, back in 2016, granted he didn't play in the first game, but through those first five games, he was all wins with some really great statistics. Not as good as Sam Darnold, but really great. And then Philly came, and then Chicago came, and then Detroit came, and then Washington came, and all of a sudden, the season had been derailed. Now, Sam Darnold, through these first five games, has been better, and probably the best five-game stretch of his entire professional career. But I think today is the day that we find out, is Sam Darnold a changed man, or has finally the league caught up with Sam, and he's going to go back to where he was? I think that day is today, Pete. What are your thoughts?
Yeah, I think you bring up a really good point. When you look at these first few games of the season and the fact that the Vikings are 5-0, they're only two undefeated teams in all of football right now, ourselves and Kansas City. Detroit, however, they do have a loss. I get it. They're 4-1, so it's a little bit different. But boy, that team looks good, Dave. And they have what I think is one of the better defenses in the NFL. I know everybody thinks there's this one and that one, and it's the Vikings or whatever with the big plays. But Detroit's got corners. They've done a lot of things through the draft that have been absolutely magical, I think, in how they've approached the draft, just like Green Bay, where Is it got a lot of sizzle to it? No, but they're getting the right people, and they've got safeties, they've got corners, they've got depth, they've got youth, and they just seem to be playing extremely well, I think, on the defensive side as well. That big linebacker, Jack Campbell, I would love for the Vikings to have grabbed him out of Iowa a couple of years ago. He's big, fast, strong, probably one of the best linebackers, I think, middle linebackers to come into the league in I don't know how many years, actually. I think he's pretty special. But all that being said, with Sam Darnold, he's a guy also, if you look back historically, because he's been in the NFL longer than probably most people realize. And when you look at it, he's been efficient, he's been accurate, he's done all those things, but that's usually in the first, I don't know, five, six, eight games of the season. It's how you close it out, though, and that's where he's had a little bit of a fall off. So I think that's something to keep an eye on. I think that's why so many people are saying, well, yeah, but, and it's maybe because of the fact that he has played well, but the last two games, he's also slid just a little bit.
He didn't look, and
he's thrown interceptions. You know, his passer rating and his QBR and all these different acronyms that they've got out there to try to just help us figure out whether or not the quarterback's doing the right thing. The other thing I'd say too, Dave, is this is a big deal, and I don't think enough people are talking about this whole deal with Aaron Jones. Aaron Jones is not on the field, I think that is going to be really detrimental to Sam, because if you look around the NFL and everybody always says receivers, 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 they're so wrong on this whole thing. It's about running backs, and it's why it was so critical that we were able to sign the running back that we did, because just like when you look over at Baltimore, Derrick Henry makes Baltimore an absolute juggernaut, and Lamar Jackson is probably on his way to another MVP season. And then look what happened with Josh Jacobs over there with Jordan Love. They obviously lost their running back to us, and now all of a sudden they've got Josh Jacobs, and I think that makes Jordan Love better. Jordan Mason also at San Francisco makes Brock Purdy even better, because had they not made that guy a person that was actually still a feature, even though he's nothing like McCaffrey, it's made Brock Purdy look like one of the best quarterbacks in the NFL. And I actually think he is one of the best in the NFL. But when you look around the NFL and you look at the quarterbacks that are having great years, they all have running backs that can run. It's not necessarily receivers. Can anybody name a receiver in Atlanta right now for Kirk Cousins? The answer is probably tough, but maybe. But they've got two running backs that can run the ball. And that's what really helps, I think, all these quarterbacks. If you can run or they can catch the ball out of the backfield, which all of these guys can do well, it makes a quarterback look a heck of a lot better. So far, Sam's been looking great. Now it's just a matter of, can he look great if we don't have our running back?
Well, Ty Chandler's done a decent job. He's not decent. Aaron Jones. He's not Aaron Jones by any stretch. Aaron Jones can catch the ball. Aaron Jones, where people don't talk enough about him, I think, is his ability in pass protection.
Yeah.
He picks up the blitz very, very well, I think, when they come through. But I'll say this, and I'll dip back to Sam Darnold for a second, because I do think that this is by far the biggest game of his career. Listen to the free agent class of quarterbacks next year. Sam Darnold's on a one-year deal. And maybe he's already earned his money for next year. But listen to this class. It's Darnold. It's Zach Wilson, Trey Lance, Jacoby Brissett, Taylor Heineke, Marcus Mariota, Drew Locke, Jarrett Stidham. I'll keep going if you want, but they're not all that pretty. Mason Rudolph's in there, and he's going to play today. My point being is that Sam Darnold has the opportunity to cash in after this season if he wants to go somewhere else. Now, if I'm Sam Darnold and I'm 27 years old, it's not super young, but it's not super old either. If I'm 27 years old and I'm looking around and I'm thinking, this might be my best chance to win, like actually win a Super Bowl. Wouldn't, if you were him, wouldn't you stick around anyway, even if it means getting less than what you might get on the open market? I say yes. That's just my personal feeling. I don't know Sam Darnold at all, but if it was me and I've already made, you know, the money that he's made, and he's made plenty of money over the years. He's not going to, you know, it's not like he's going to be hurting and have to go to the unemployment line when he's done. He's made about $65 million.
It's not bad.
At some point, it's like, well, why bother? Why risk going somewhere else and having to start over again? And I look at this and I think, maybe they'll give me another 1 year, $10 million. Maybe it'll be less. Whatever. I might get 11 on the open market. I don't know. I think you stay here. But all of this, I think, Pete, hinges on today. And is this – so you're right. We've seen him regress a little last week and the week before. But this game today, if he can lead them to a victory over the Lions, and then they, now you're looking at a schedule that really lightens up for the Vikings after that, I think.
Yeah.
I think this is a huge game for him, and I think it could cement him at least for another year or so here in Minnesota.
It might be early to say cement him, but I understand what you're saying. I think he has started off great.
You're not ready to, so you're not ready to retire his jersey yet?
Well, we only have five games, man.
Be bold. Be different. Raise it to the roof today.
It's great. I will say this. With the Lions and the defense that they've got, even without Hutchinson on their side, this is a really good defense. So if we play well today, and if Sam particularly can play well today, depending on whether or not the running back, you know, what running back he has, that's going to change things. And obviously, look, we got to remember, he still doesn't have Hawkinson. Is Hawkinson going to be there? Everybody's,
you know. Where is that this guy? I thought he was going to play all of a sudden. There he's not.
Not yet. And on the defensive side, we also have a little bit of an issue because Blake Cashman obviously has this, you know, turf toe thing going on. So he's out.
Very painful.
Yeah, because he is, you know what? It's great, all the big splash numbers that you get from the people on the outside and everything else. But if your middle linebacker can play at the level where he has been playing so far this year, that opens up the defense. It's kind of like the running back not getting a lot of credit, even though they really do mean something in the NFL. I believe the same thing about the middle linebackers. If you can stop people in the middle, which Blake Cashman has done an absolutely phenomenal job, and he's running really, really well, I think that that speaks volumes about what you can do on the defensive side, and it makes everybody else's job that much easier coming from the outside. So it's going to be really, really interesting. I think that Sam Darnold, five games is not enough, but I'd say if we get through the next, and it's not like you said, we've got some teams in front of us that are they're very winnable games.
Yes.
And I think that Sam, if he's on his game, he could really light it up, and that could put a lot more money in his pocket for next year.
I was reading an article getting ready for this morning from a website called The Daily Norseman, which I do enjoy because it's kind of plugs right into the fans. And the headline was, still only 94% of fans believe in this team.
it was understandable a little bit, right?
But it was down. Like 2 weeks ago, it was 96. Nothing's changed. All of a sudden, now we're down to 94, which tells, once again, Vikings fans, more than anybody, are so afraid to love again. I feel like I use this term all the time. Only 94% of fans believe in this team. Are you one of them? 651-461-9226, thestylesfinancial.com, talk and text line. I am one of them, but I would say that I still need to see more, probably like everybody else. Mm-hmm. I am on board. I think this team has something. I think when Hawkinson comes back – now, I'm not saying they're going to win the Super Bowl because I don't think they will. I think they're a playoff team. I think Sam Bradford is for real. I think the defense is outstanding, but I really want to see how they do again. What did I say?
You said Sam Bradford. I mean, Sam Bradford is for real.
Sam Darnold. No, Sam Bradford and I don't get along. That's another story off air for another time.
Oh,
I think I told
you
that. I've told you that story. He's not that he remembers who I am, but he doesn't like me. We had a run-in one time. Hey, let's take a quick break because we're going to talk Gophers coming up next. Yeah. Winston Dellatabadere, who is the defensive line coach for the Golden Gophers, is going to join us right around the other side of the break. We'll talk about the Gophers and how much fun this season has been for him. You're listening to The Huddle on 830 WCCO. 10:23 on this Sunday morning. Gophers are off this week, but they have had a phenomenal start to the season as well. Winston Dellatabadere is the assistant head coach and defensive line coach for the Gopher football team. Winston, first of all, thank you. Thanks for coming on and joining us this morning. It's great to chat with you.
Oh, my goodness. It's awesome to be on with a couple of legends this morning, man. You talk about getting electrified, you know. You talk about having energy, right? And this is my morning cup of coffee right here. That's it.
Holy cow. All right, well, we'll be clipping that, so thank you. And that'll be played every single week until we get kicked off the air. I remember you playing at the U, and I love that you're here now as a D-line coach. But I'm curious, I mean, how much fun is it when you get ready and you're scheming and you're doing all the things when you got guys like Ja Joyner and Danny Strigow to work with and the year that they've had?
It is completely insane. These guys have just been running around all year long, and their attention to detail has continuously improved. You talk about guys like Danny Strigow, and if Danny Strigow, if you cut both of his arms off, he'd still run onto the field. You talk about guys like Ja Joyner and just his arm length, his ability to be able to accelerate at the top of the rush. These guys are just awesome. So I'm blessed being here, and then being at your alma mater makes it that much sweeter.
Hey, Coach, have you been involved a lot? I know every coach does something in the recruiting world, but what we've been able to do in-state has been absolutely incredible. And when you see a guy like Coy Parrish out there, it's just amazing. I have not seen a physical specimen like that at the University of Minnesota as a freshman, anything like that. Is that one of your recruits, or is that somebody else's credit on that one?
So that's Danny Collins right there. Danny Collins was the point man on that. And I'm talking about like being able to watch him. And it was my first year on the staff last year, and being able to watch his resilience as, I mean, Ohio State's coming after this guy, a lot of other, you know, just big name Big Ten schools that Minnesota's battled and beaten in the past or has battled and struggled with. They've came after him, and Danny Collins just stayed the course, kept rowing. He went and he got that thing done. The full defensive staff, we hopped in where we had to here and there, but Danny Collins killed it on Coy, man. And Coy's different.
Winston Dellatabadere joining us on the John Schuster Caldwell Banker Hotline. Coach, you really, I mean, you jumped right into coaching as soon as you were done at the University of Minnesota. Did you always know that that's what you wanted to do? Was coaching going to be in your future no matter what happened?
So I actually did not want to be a coach at all. The first person who told me I was going to be a coach was Coach Fleck.
Okay.
He was like, dude, you know, you would make an awesome coach. I was like, Coach, you're crazy. I don't know what you're talking about. So going into my master's program, my fifth year at the U, I had to do a capstone program. And they said, hey, you can do whatever you want, but just make up a future profession for yourself and present to us like you're in that profession. So I said, I'll just pick, you know, I'll be a football coach, whatever. Came up with my own culture, presented it to everybody that was the head of the department in order to be able to tell me that I could receive my master's degree. And they sat there astonished at the end of it. And I didn't know why they were looking at me like I had, you know, seven heads. But after it, one of the directors was like, you should really become a football coach. Marcus West, that coaches at the Bills right now, he gave me my first opportunity coming out right after that 2019 season in 2020. And he said, just take a shot. I think that you'll be a really, really good coach. So now this is the third time I've heard it, and I guess it was third time the charm. Let's go ahead and get this thing going.
Coach, you've got a great defensive line there, and it's because of you. You do an amazing job. I get a chance to be over there every once in a while, either at practice or at games, and watch what you're able to do with these guys. It's incredible, and I love the guys that you've got. I'm sure it's a room over there at Minnesota, the defensive line room, that's got to be one of the premier spots for anybody to be there. They've got to love it. I'm just looking a little bit ahead. I know Maryland's the next game, but I just wanted to look a little bit ahead if it's okay. I'm looking at Illinois, and they're ranked. They're doing extremely well. They can throw the ball if they have to. Their quarterback has been unbelievable. They're running the ball. They ran the ball down the throat of Michigan. What is it about that offense, and is that an offense that you see some holes in that we can get some pressure on the quarterback maybe to hold him back a little bit?
I mean, week by week, you watch this Illinois offense, and they're just continuously thriving and getting better, and I think that's why they've, you know, earned the right to be ranked where they are right now. I haven't looked ahead at any of their film, but from some of the games that I've seen, man, it's going to be a challenge for us up front just to be able to be consistent. And Coach Fleck talks about consistency is the truest measure of performance. So right now, not focusing on anybody else, I'm putting the pressure on my guys to be as consistent as possible within their own technique, no matter who we play. So when we get to that bridge, oh, we'll cross it, baby. But for right now, we're going after the Terps.
Love it.
Winston Dele- man, you are just electric. I love this. I'm ready to go. I'm like, where do you want me to play? I'm ready.
Come on, man. Come play a little bit of nose. We'll swing you to D-tackle, and then we'll rush you off the edge on third down. I already got the plan, man. Let's go.
Listen, I'm 5'9", and I'm 46, so maybe just two downs, but I appreciate
that's okay. Just second and long and third down. We won't put you in on first down at all.
That's good. Hey, let me ask you real quick about this Maryland team. This quarterback, he's been – okay at some times, but certainly seems like he can be susceptible to some pressure. As you've looked at this film, or as you start to look at this film, do you see this offense and this quarterback in general as one that you can disrupt with a great pass rush?
I think any quarterback you're able to affect with a great pass rush. This guy is special. And he's been able to deliver some balls on the drop of a dime. You look at the wide receivers that they have out there. They've got two really lanky, long guys who are able to go up, contort their body, and be able to catch some fade balls, some jump balls. They've got a little bit of speed. But the thing that Maryland always has is athleticism. And even growing up in Maryland, I always knew that. You watch the Terps growing up, and they've got some world-renowned names just with speed, speed, speed. When I talk to my guys about this week and any other week coming up, we focus less on sacks and we focus more on just negatively affecting the quarterback. You go back to the UCLA game and the USC game. The USC game, Ja Joyner reaches his arm out and he's able to deflect the ball, and now Devin Williams gets an interception. Then the next week, you've got Devin Eastern disrupting a ball, and you've got Cody Lindenberg getting an interception. So if we get five or six more of those just coming up here in these next 2 to 3 games, I know sack numbers are sack numbers, but we want to negatively affect this guy, and we're going to be working all week to do so.
Coach, I love that defensive line group. You've got a bunch of great players. You're going to lose some because you've got some seniors. That always is going to happen to teams. But seeing Jaw Joyner out there, I had the opportunity to see him in high school back in Connecticut, watch him, and he's a heck of a football player. I know he's going to be playing on Sunday someday as well. Is there something about the way you guys went through USC and UCLA, the defense really stepped up when they really needed to, that was so impressive? And you know a lot about Pac-12 football because you were coaching at Oregon. So could you speak to that as far as the Pac-12 and this big entrance into the Big Ten?
Without a doubt. I told the guys all week long, even before we started USC, I said, listen, I was like, you're playing against Cali guys now. It's different than playing against the Iowas, the Wisconsin. Like, you're going to see a lot of guys that you might have went to high school with, or, you know, you've bumped heads with in the past. I'm like, these guys are like, they're kind of a foreign entity to our conference. I said, they're going to be athletic as all get out. They're going to be able to run. I said, so since they're going to be able to run, we've got to be able to do things to help our guys out on the back end, right, and be able to get home to cause some type of disruption. I told them the big boys up front would attempt to lean on them a little bit. You're playing some of the best just in football history with the brands that you've played, and I think it was awesome to watch them just continuously rise to the challenge with excitement, swarm, and violence.
That is the voice of Winston DeLatabaderas, the defensive line coach for the University of Minnesota Golden Gopher football team. Coach, it was so great to have you on this morning. We appreciate you coming on, and man, I hope we can do this again because I'm jacked up and ready to go.
Let's make it happen, Coach.
Whenever you guys want me. Thank you, guys. Whenever you guys want me, I'll be there. I want to shout out the student section. Student section, keep on coming out. Keep on showing support. We see you. Coach Fleck shouted the whole fan base out last week at UCLA. I want to shout out our home crowd. Can't wait to see you guys on homecoming.
Let's go. Let's go. Good luck next week against Maryland, Coach. Appreciate you.
Thanks, Coach.
Thank you so much. Row the boat, guys.
Row the boat. Man, I'll tell you what, Pete. If he's not a head coach someday, then I don't know what's going on, because that gentleman can get you fired up and ready to go.
He has. I'm ready right now. I started putting tape on my wrists.
You have a football player's body. I have a water bottle, water boy's body.
I got an old body.
All right, let's take a break and we'll come back. You are listening to Huddle on 830 WCCO. This should be next time we have Winston DeLatabaderas on. This should be the music that he comes into.
Oh, that'd be perfect. That's a great walk-up, man.
If you're joining us late and you just missed our interview with Gophers defensive line coach Winston DeLatabaderas, go back and listen to it. Because, I mean, if there's a human Red Bull, he's it. That was amazing. Not only is he knowledgeable, obviously he knows the game very well, Pete, but like his energy, I just love the way he brought it. It's so
he was
good.
A great player. He's a great guy.
Yes, he was.
If I could say his name, I would, so I have to call him Coach.
I had to practice his name a lot when he played, a lot, when I used to call the highlights. Well, we're going to postpone and push fast break to the next hour. So all of you hoping to hear Josh's voice, you'll have to wait till 11:30. No? Okay, I thought Josh was going to jump in there.
You said that they have to wait, so I wasn't going to chime in.
He's got that WWE kind of style to him, doesn't he, Dave? I love when Josh pops in.
I don't know if it's a good thing or a bad thing.
Oh, it's Josh Wheeler's music. So I read two interesting articles this morning, guys. Let's start with the Tom Brady bit, and that is that he has been unanimously approved to be a part owner of the Las Vegas Raiders, which comes with some stipulations of being an owner that would likely affect his broadcasting career, which is basically the cliff notes is that he is not allowed to talk ill of anyone else in the league or his own team. He is not allowed to be in other teams' practice facilities. And those two are pretty big because as an announcer, you kind of have to call it like you see it, and you kind of have to be able to go into meetings at team facilities. I don't see any way that he maintains his broadcasting career here. And I don't really think, in my mind, I don't think he really wants to. Or else why would he become part owner of the Raiders when he's got a 10-year, whatever million-dollar contract with Fox, and now he's going to do – you know, I just – Pete, I don't see any way past this. And you've been an announcer. You've been a player. Have you been a general manager and owner of the team that I didn't know about? Not yet, but maybe. I don't see any way this happens. Do you?
You know, I can see how he could navigate this, though, Dave, because, I mean, the reality is, when you think about it, all those things that you just mentioned that he can't do, the practice facility probably being the biggest one, and he can't go there. I think everybody can have, they don't necessarily go overboard with the criticisms of specific teams and all that type of a thing anyway. I mean, most color commentators don't do that. But they'll be very honest about what we're seeing and why we're seeing it the way it is. Other people can go to the practice facilities and report back to Tom to give him some of the ideas of what they are seeing or what their takeaways were. So I don't know. I don't know if it's one of those things where it's really going to hamper his ability to do the color commentary. I think Tom is such a smart guy, number one. He is the GOAT, number two. And his ability to analyze things on the fly, I would say that he still could be as good of a color commentator. Now, it's going to take a little bit of time. I've watched him a couple of times, and I can see where he stumbles.
Do you like him?
I like him, but he definitely it's not totally ready yet, and he's doing it, and he is Tom Brady, but I think there have been times where you're kind of listening to it going, you know, he didn't quite articulate that very well for what we're really looking for. But he'll get better. He's never done this before. Think about this. This guy spent 45 years playing football, not commenting on it, playing football, and then sitting on the sidelines and throwing down those Microsoft things onto the ground and all those things that they all do.
But so on a scale of John Madden being the best, and for my money, Tony Romo being the worst ever, where does he lie? Somewhere in the middle?
Somewhere in the middle. But you know what? Knowing who Tom Brady is and how he wants to be the best at anything he does, I would say that he will work. You're finding out once you're on the fly. You know, it's one of those things that you never really know until you – it's just like an NFL game, right? If you've never played in the NFL and you just came from college – that step up, as we've seen so many times with quarterbacks, it is a big step, and not everybody can make it. And we're just talking about our own quarterback in Sam Bradford. He wasn't ready. He was also on a terrible team, let's be honest. That's why he went so high in the draft. But he was on a lot of terrible teams over his career. And so it's, you know.
You mean Sam Darnold?
Sam Darnold, too.
You did it, too.
You threw me that daggone thing, man.
We're jinxing it. Someone texted us and said we're jinxing it by calling him Bradford.
Yeah, I threw in the Bradford, too. Dang, that's on me.
No, that's fine. I did it first, right? I wonder, too, if – I mean, listen, the NFL can do whatever it wants, right? Like, Roger Goodell can make any sort of rules that he wants to. Could they just say, listen, this deal with Fox is huge. Tom Brady is not the same as every other player that's come through. He is arguably the best and winningest quarterback of all time, and I know some people will argue with that, and that's okay. Do they say, listen, Tom, we so badly want you to be our, you know, be the top of our broadcast team on Fox, and there's big money there, and we also want you to be part owner of the Las Vegas Raiders, because that's great for the league, too. Yep. You go ahead. We're going to make the Tom Brady rule that you can do what you want and be allowed to do so. I actually think the league would do it.
They could. I mean, they'd already had that Tom Brady rule, throwing the football.
Exactly. Roger Goodell can do whatever he wants and will do whatever he wants. Mm-hmm. You know, this. I love we have rules and we have integrity. Come on. It's about the almighty dollar. Give me a break. This is about money. And if they think that Tom Brady being an announcer and being an owner can make them more money, you tell me they're not going to take it.
And by the way, Tom Brady got that 5%, I believe it was, from Davis at the Las Vegas Raiders. By the way, we completely brush over the fact that a former defensive end, Seymour, played for the New England Patriots as well, is part of that deal as well.
Yeah.
He has a 0.5%, which a lot of people say, well, it's only a 0.5%. Well, it's a 0.5% of $6.7 billion. So I would say it's a lot of money. And it's probably just going to continue to go up, up, and up. I think Roger Goodell, I don't even think they have to make a special thing for him. I think that
they just say, okay.
Yeah, there's going to be ways where they're just going to say, hey, look, here's how you've got to play this. We don't want you to do this. We'd appreciate if you didn't overboard do that. And I think they can do something with the rule that it wouldn't be just for Tom Brady, though. I think that would be wrong. But
this has some more tentacles. Go ahead, sorry.
I was just going to say, they can fix this, and they can fix it quickly. Yeah,
and they likely will. I have some more thoughts on this, too, but we have to pause. Carly Knox, president of the Minnesota Lynx, is going to join us coming up next. We'll talk a little Lynx basketball out in Brooklyn tonight. A big, big, huge game. WNBA championship on the line. We'll talk to her coming up next. Huge game tonight for the Minnesota Lynx against the New York Liberty. Looking for a WNBA championship, Carly Knox is the vice president of business operations for the Minnesota Lynx. She joins us now on the John Schuster Coldwell Banker Hotline. Carly, good morning. Thank you for taking some time for us on a busy, busy day.
Absolutely, I love that song.
Carly,
that's a
good
throwback song.
It is a good throwback song, and actually, that's where I want to start. I want to throw this back because I was trying to remember some of those earlier championship years, and I always remember in Atlanta when you won the title there. And I'm thinking about the games that were both here and in Atlanta, and I'm thinking about the crowds that were both here in Atlanta. Correct me if I'm remembering not – if I'm not remembering correctly. I don't remember you selling out every game at home and having monster crowds on the road in Atlanta like there are this year here and in Brooklyn. Is that right? I mean, are the crowds bigger? I mean, this place is – every time you see the Target Center, it's just packed to the hilt with Lynx fans.
Yeah, so obviously incredible time in women's athletics as a whole. But I will say during our dynasty, you know, during those finals runs, we were selling out Target Center.
Okay, good.
So we kind of paved the way in this movement for these type of historic crowds. And they just keep getting bigger and bigger. And, you know, the excitement and ticket sales and corporate partnerships and President Circle memberships. I mean, it's been such an exciting time. So the movement has been coming for a long time, but I definitely call it an inflection point in the movement.
And quite honestly, Carly, the simple answer for a lot of people is, well, look at what came to the WNBA this year and the big feed into the entire group of all the different teams. Do you see that, or do you see even more so that there is, it's not just one person, it's just that women's basketball has become a much bigger and much better attended sport?
Yeah, I mean, it's not just women's basketball. This movement is having inflection points across all of women's professional athletics, whether it's in the NWSL or in women's professional hockey, et cetera, et cetera. Like, and they don't have one, you know, player, two players that people like to focus on. There have been many, many people and many women of color that have paved the way for this league for a long time. And again, going back to our dynasty days, we were selling out arenas during those playoff runs. So and that was long before these young rookies were a part of it. And absolutely. You know, it's been an inflection point and they have been a part of it for sure. But it's not due to one or two players, you know.
Mm-hmm. Carly Knox joining us in the John Schuster Coldwell Banker Hotline. This series with New York has been incredible. I mean, how many games could you imagine that come down to the final minutes like they have? As your fan base grows and gets excited about this, are you all feeling, or I guess I should say, how do you not take that tension? Because, I mean, you have a business to run, obviously, and basketball players have basketball to play. But when the series is so close like it is, there's a tension there. I mean, you can cut it with a knife every time you get in there.
I know. I kept saying, everyone's like, how you feeling? How you feeling before the last game? Incredibly excited, but also felt like I wanted to throw up at the same time. And that's how I felt this entire series. It's just been so intense and so closely matched. But, you know, people, again, have been doubting the Minnesota Lynx this entire year. And, you know, often doubt the Lynx, you know, and we were media predicted that we would be ninth in the WNBA. And here we are in a game five of the WNBA finals and about to, you know, knock on wood, potentially win a championship. And so we're going to let the doubters doubt and the haters hate, and we're going to play Lynx basketball and do our thing.
And for the record, we were not doubters. I want to, every week we say the same thing. Cheryl Reeves, the best dang coach of any basketball I've ever seen. That's just my opinion, but I've always stuck with it.
And the amazing thing,
we'll keep her.
She's been great, and you guys as a team have been absolutely incredible. I want to go back to game three where Breonna Stewart dropped 30 points on us. They beat us. But the next game, game four, she really struggled. Was it something that they did? Did coach them all up, the fact that they held Stewart? She was 5 of 21. This is a whole different game than game three and when we got to game four. And then all the work that Kayla McBride put in there as well, stepping up, and she was deadly from 3-point.
Yeah, I mean, look, we've had one of the best defenses all season long. Unfortunately, but fortunately, these teams are incredibly evenly matched. So it's, you know, do you let one player go off and try to make sure you kind of, you know, rein in any other players on the New York Liberty? But again, that game was so close. It came down in, you know, game three to a last second, super far out three, and that's how they won. So, you know, these guys are going to give absolutely everything they have. This team is so incredibly special. I keep talking about, you know, how they have each other's back, how much fun they have with each other. You know, they're just really good, kind, humble people that put team above, you know, individual accolades. And, you know, everyone keeps saying, oh, New York is a super team, and that we are a super team, that, you know, our chemistry and the way we have our backs. And I keep calling it joyful basketball. And so, you know, fingers crossed and knocking on all the wood. We call this knock on wood season that, you know, what has made us so good all season long lifts us to a WNBA championship tonight.
Well, we want the WNBA championship tonight, yeah. Carly. But regardless of what happens, this series has been so great for the WNBA. And as this season has gone, the last few seasons, I mean, we're seeing higher attendance numbers, higher TV ratings, bigger media deals.
Yeah.
Where is the next point of the glass ceiling to be broken in your mind for the WNBA? Where is this league going that we haven't seen it go yet in your mind?
Yeah. I mean, obviously, expansion is the next step, and, you know, everybody knows we had the Valkyrie coming in, Toronto after that, Portland, they're looking at another team after that. And so I think expanding our national footprint, you know, and really just kind of widening our audience. And then obviously, you know, larger TV deal coming, eventually, you know, new CBA and paying the players more and, you know, bigger partnerships, more season ticket memberships. Like, for us, we already renewed at over 93% of our season ticket member base. Revenue-wise, and we've already hit our first target for 2025 already this year through playoffs. So the growth is just going to keep skyrocketing, and people are watching. People care. It's the it spot to be in watching these games. And like you said, record-breaking viewership, record-breaking crowds. We had, you know, our largest crowd on Wednesday night in the history of our franchise. And it's just an incredibly exciting time for all the women's athletics. And I'm just proud of what we built here with the Minnesota Lynx, the 20 years in the WNBA that I've been able to experience so far, and it's just really, really, really fun to see.
Well, congratulations on what you've done so far. Congratulations on the franchise, and go get that WNBA title tonight. We want that thing
Let's
back.
Let's go!
Let's go.
We're ready,
Thank
Carly.
Carly, thanks so much for joining us.
Thanks.
All right, Carly Knox, the president of business operations for the Minnesota Lynx. Again, Lynx and the New York Liberty Game 5 this evening from Brooklyn. We will step aside. And
when you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
I'm Jed Lipinski. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Take a break, come back. You are listening to The Huddle on 830 WCCO.
I'm Jed Lipinski. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.